This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
All right. Well, on this Thanksgiving weekend, I'm thankful for a lot of things. I'm thankful for Pastor Alan, Miss Joy. Thankful for this church. Thankful for the opportunity to speak to you this morning. And in thinking about this earlier, I'm thankful that God knows what we need. I believe if our hearts are open, he'll give us what we need this morning. So I'm excited to see what God's going to do in our lives. I'd like to open up with just a short story. Before I do, some of you may not know me. I'm Brandon. I'm the community pastor here. And my message is entitled, How to Get Up When You've Messed Up. How do you get up when you made a mistake? There's a fun little story about an older man who knew his time was coming soon, and he gathered a priest, a pastor, and a rabbi all together. And he said, all right, guys, I know I'm going to be passing away soon. And he handed each of them $100,000. The men kind of looked at him like, what are you doing? He said, look, guys, I know I'm going to heaven, and I know that I probably can't take this with me. But at my funeral, what I'd like for you to do is I'd like for you to take that money, put it in my casket, and let's just see what happens. The men are kind of like, okay, we'll thank you. Yes, sir. All right. And as soon as the man passed away, it was probably just a few months later, the men showed up, they did what he asked, and everything was good. A couple weeks passed, and the men gathered together just on some business. And as they did so, they were talking, and the priest, he decided to open up. He said, guys, I have to confess something to you. He said, our church needed a little money, and I only put $70,000 in that envelope. The guys just kind of looked at him, okay. The pastor said, well, look, if he's going to confess, I'll confess. He said, I only put $30,000 in that envelope. My church needed the rest of the money. And the rabbi looked at both of them, just shook his head. He said, guys, I cannot believe you. He said, I put a check in that envelope for the full amount. Sneaky. You got to watch out for those rabbis, right? All right. No shot to the rabbis. We love the rabbis. Well, when we talk about mistakes, sometimes it's kind of an uncomfortable subject to breach, right? But I think if we're all honest, we all make mistakes. No, we all know that. Just recently, it was probably a couple weeks ago, I made a mistake, unfortunately. And every morning, I kind of have my ritual. I wake up, I take my little Zyrtec pill. It helps me with my allergies. Some of you understand allergies in Texas. My goodness, we should have prayed for that earlier, all right? But I take my allergy pill, and it helps me feel better. And for whatever reason, on that morning, I couldn't remember. It's like, did I take my pill or not? And I was looking around, I'm like, and I looked over on the counter, and I saw a little pill. So I took it, popped my pill, everything's good, until I see my daughter looking at me. She's like, Dad, what are you doing? I'm like, what do you mean what I'm doing? I'm just taking my pill. She goes, Dad, that was my pill. Now, here's the thing. Some of you don't know my daughter, okay? My daughter has ADHD, all right? And is diagnosed, okay? So I took her ADHD pill, and I'm going to be honest with you, I started freaking out. I really did. I didn't know what was going to happen to me. Like, I see what it does to her. Oh, boy, we won't even go there, all right? But, I'm thinking to myself, what do I do? So I run to the bathroom, all right, and I did the best that I could. I tried to do the finger down the, I couldn't do it, okay? And I'll come clean this morning, I'll be honest with you. I have this fear of throwing up, okay? Anybody else? Okay, I don't know why. I can't explain it. I'd rather jump off a bridge. Like, I'd rather do anything. I just don't want to throw up. The feeling of even saying the word. I'm going to stop saying the word, okay? It's like, it's so painful for me to even say. And I remember, going through the whole rest of the day. I'll be honest with you. I felt pretty good, okay? But that's a whole other thing. I will not be taking your medication anymore. Maybe I will not be tempted by that, all right? But when I did that, I'm going to be honest, I kind of beat up myself a little bit. I'm like, Brandon, come on, man. You know better than that. Like, what are you thinking? And as we get into our subject for today, how do you get up when you mess up? I'd like to ask that question to you. How do you get up when you mess up? How do you respond when you make a mistake, when you blow it? I kind of gave you a silly example, but a lot of us, if not all of us, know what it means to blow it real big, right? To do something where, as a result of whatever action, whatever thing that we did, there's ripple effects. Maybe it affects your family, your finances. Maybe it affects your job. And those moments are tough. Those moments are incredibly tough. And this morning, what I want to tell you is, I believe each of us have two choices when we make mistakes, because we're going to make plenty of them, but especially the big ones. We can either choose to focus on our mistakes, give them the time, effort, and energy that they don't deserve, or we can choose to focus on God's grace. I'll say it one more time. We can choose to focus on our mistakes, or we can choose to focus on God's grace. And there's a guy in the Bible we're going to look at today. His name was Peter. Man, we're going to look at a story, and he completely blew it. I mean, he blew it big time. And Jesus used the opportunity to teach him a valuable lesson, a truth that we're going to talk about today. that God's grace on our lives is greater than our mistakes. And that's our main thought for today. God's grace is greater than our mistakes, regardless of how big they are. Now, I'm going to use the word grace a lot today. So when I think about the word grace, we'll get on the same page with the definition. I see grace as this: God's undeserved favor towards us. God's undeserved favor towards us. Grace is something that we can't earn. It's not something we deserve. We can't be good enough to receive. We get it not out of how good we are, but out of how good God is. We receive grace not based on any type of merit, anything that we could ever accomplish, but it's something we receive. And the only reason we receive it is because we serve a good God. So as we get into this today, we're going to look at the passage just a moment. I want to just kind of set the stage. And it's kind of a tense moment. It really is. And here's why. Because this is Jesus' last meal on earth before he's resurrected and everything happens. And he's eating with his disciples and taking the last supper and taking communion. And Jesus begins to share some things with the disciples. He shares with them that Judas is going to betray him. Can you imagine what that would have been like? The disciples couldn't believe it. What? Somebody's going to betray Judas? Then he shares with them that he's going to die soon. Can you imagine how hard that must have been to hear that? And Peter stands up and says, Jesus, I'm going to die with you. I'll go with you to the end. And Peter, Jesus sets him down. Peter, calm down. In fact, he tells Peter, you're actually going to deny me 3 times. And you can imagine how Peter must have felt. What? And a little time later, they go into the garden. And many know the story. They begin to pray. What do the disciples do? They fall asleep. Jesus is being continually let down. And right as that's happening, we enter into our story. And that's where Judas comes. And he gives the kiss of betrayal to identify the soldiers, this is who Jesus is. That's where we pick up. The scripture tells us this. Luke 22, it says, so they arrested him, that's Jesus, and led him to the high priest's home. And Peter followed at a distance. And the guards lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around it. And Peter joined them there. The servant girl noticed him in the firelight and began staring at him. You ever realize this is what kids do? They're like, they're just staring at you. Stop staring at me, child. All right? But here's what he says. Finally, she said, this is the man who was one of Jesus' followers. But Peter denied it. It's the first time. Woman, he said. She's not a woman. She's a girl. But we get frazzled, right? When people call us out. He says, woman, I don't even know him. After a while, someone else looked at him and said, you must be one of them. No, man, I'm not, Peter retorted. Peter's getting incredibly defensive. About an hour later, someone else insisted, this must be one of them because he's a Galilean too. But Peter said, man, I don't know what you're talking about. And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. At that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. That's Jesus. And suddenly the Lord's words flashed through Peter's mind. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you'll deny me 3 times that you even know me. And Peter left the courtyard weeping bitterly. Can you imagine what it must have been like for both Jesus and Peter? You know, if you're Jesus, you've just had Judas betray you. You've had Peter deny you. And Matthew tells us the rest of the disciples fled. Really? Jesus spent the last 3 years with these guys and that's what happens? Can you imagine what it must have been like though from Peter's perspective? Oh, he had given up his whole life as a fisherman to follow Jesus. You think about the relationship with Jesus, the jokes, you know, all the things that went on. Him learning from Jesus, him loving Jesus. And yet after that time of 3 years, he completely denies that he even knows the man who wasn't just a man to him. He was his Lord and Savior. Wow. Incredible. And as sad and as messed up as this moment is, Jesus' grace is so great that he uses this lesson to teach Peter that despite his mistake, oh, that was big, denying Jesus 3 times, that he still loved Peter and that he could be restored. Here's the rest of the story. As we fast forward, some details have happened. Jesus has died on the cross. God took him and he rose from the grave. Thankful for that. A few other things happened. The Bible says that he's appeared to different people. Jesus had appeared to his disciples and others. And as that was going on, the scripture picks up and it tells us that Jesus was on the beach. And disciples are out there fishing and they're doing their thing. And John sees Jesus, and it's kind of hard to tell, but he realizes that's Jesus. So he tells his buddy Peter. Now, Peter, you can imagine, Peter was the bold one. Peter was the guy who did before he thought, right? Some of us have a friend like that, okay? Peter said, Jesus? And they begin rowing the boat. Peter didn't even care. He jumps in the water, and he starts swimming towards Jesus. Peter was all heart. You got to love that about him. And he gets to the beach, and he embraces Jesus. And this is where we pick up as the story concludes, and the scripture tells us this. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied. "You know I love you." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question. "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said. "You know I love you." "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. A third time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time, and he said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep." There's a couple little nuggets here that I want to just quickly unpack, because what Jesus does here is absolutely incredible. He teaches Peter an incredible lesson of grace. And we'll start with the first thing. When you look at this word, and we'll make it real easy. You're about to learn some Greek. When you look at the Greek inside of it, Jesus says to Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" But he says, "Peter, do you agape me? Do you agape love me?" Agape love is the type of love that's a sacrificial love. It's a love that's willing to put itself down. It's a love that it's less of the, about emotion and more about the will, the choosing to love. And when he says that to Peter, you would think would reciprocate the same type of love and say, "Yes, I agape you," but he doesn't. He says, "Yes, Lord, I phileo you." And the phileo type of love is, it's actually where we get the word Philadelphia, sense of brotherly love. That's what it is. It's brotherly. It's some of you have a brother in here. You know what that's like. It's like, "Come here, you know, I love you" type of thing. And then, you know, you give him a little nuggy and, you know, all that type of stuff. Okay. You know, it's a special type of love. It's kind of an emotional type of love. It's a special bond. It's a tie. So Jesus says, "Oh, do you love me? Do you agape love me? Do you sacrificially love me?" And Peter responds, "Yes, Lord, I love you like a brother. I have this bond with you." Probably not what Jesus was looking for. So Jesus tries it again. He says, "Peter, do you agape love me? Do you love me sacrificially?" And what does Peter do a second time? He says, "Yes, Lord, I phileo love you. Yes, I love you like a brother. We have this special bond." Now here's the thing. You know, Jesus could have been really upset at this, but I think there's something more here that's going on. And if you remember back all the way to the story we shared about Peter, how he piped up and said, "I'll go with you to the end," we know what happened, right? He didn't go to him. He didn't go with him to the end. In fact, he was pretty scared, fearful for his life, and I understand why. But in that moment, what was happening was this. Peter was able, for probably once in his life, to just be honest. And he said, "You know what, Lord? I don't have the agape love. I have a phileo love." And in that moment, that's what he told Jesus. "Jesus, I told you before I had an agape love, but both you and I know I don't." You know what's beautiful about this story? Jesus doesn't get mad at him. Jesus responds a third time and he says this, "Peter, not do you agape love me," a third time, but he says, "Peter, do you phileo love me?" And Peter responds and says, "Yes, Lord, I phileo love you." Why did Jesus change the word there? What about it? What was going on there? And here's what I believe was happening. Despite Peter's mistakes, despite Peter being at a place where he probably should be further, Jesus was willing to meet Peter where he was at. Think about how powerful that is. Jesus was willing to meet Peter where he was at in his relationship with him. He was willing to come to the place he was. And this has incredible application for our life, because so often we think, "God, I'm not there. God, I'd like to be there." And we feel guilty. And God says, "Look, I know you're not there, but I still love you. You're still my child." And God meets us where we're at. Wow. I'm so thankful for that. You know, I talk to people all the time that, you know, aren't connected with church, and they joke with me. They say, "Oh, Brandon, I could never go to church. If I walked through there, you know, the whole place would burn down," and, you know, that type of thing. And when I think about it, and some of you have heard this phrase before, I love that we're a come-as-you-are church, because all of us serve a come-as-you-are God. That's who we serve. He's a come-as-you-are God. He doesn't say, "You don't get to walk in here. You don't have it figured out. You need to stay out there, stay in the cafe, stay in the," you know. He doesn't say that to us. He tells us, "Come as you are." Wow, that's a powerful God. And exactly what happens there, yeah, absolutely, you can clap. He deserves that. So that's what's going on here. Now, as incredible as that is, I think there's a pretty interesting second point to this as well. And if you go back and you remember, how many times did Peter deny Jesus? It was three times. And Jesus takes this opportunity in three different forms of a question to restore Peter. The first time, what did Peter do? He denied Jesus. So what does Jesus do? He says, "Do you love me?" And he gives him an opportunity to be restored. Remember, what did Peter do? Peter denied Jesus the second time. So what does Jesus do? He says, "Do you love me?" He gives him an opportunity to show, "I know you really love me." What did Peter do the third time? He denied him. So what does Jesus do? He says, do you love me? And gives him an opportunity to be restored. And here's the beauty of what Jesus did. Jesus was teaching him that despite Peter's mistakes, his grace was still bigger. His grace was sufficient for Peter. And the same works for us. Regardless of what we've done in our lives, God is a God who wants to restore us. So many times people get messed up in their sense of God. Maybe they hear something from someone else, or maybe you've been taught a certain way. You know, a lot of times people talk about God. I'm like, that's not the God I know. When I read scripture, I read a God who restores people. I read a God who meets people where we're at. And I'm so thankful for that. Because the same way God, Jesus in that moment, restored Peter, he restores us. Wow, that's a message of grace. As we transition in kind of the second part of this, though, I want to throw out to you, how should we apply this to our lives? I want to throw out the question, maybe more specific, how should we respond to God's grace in our lives? And I want to give you, for those that are note takers, I'll give you the first one. Here's one way that we should respond. It's simple. It's we accept God's grace. We accept it. It's that simple. Ephesians 2 tells us this, and let's look at the scripture. It says, but God is so rich in mercy. Does that sound like a good God? Being rich in mercy? That sounds like a great God to me. He loves us so much, sounds like a great God, that even though we were dead because of our sins, not on God, on us, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you've been saved. Wow. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for it. It's a gift from God. It wasn't anything we earned. Verse 9 tells us salvation is a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. So God gives us this love freely. Freely. Hosea tells us it's given freely. Wow. Now let me give you a quick illustration of this. When I think about God's grace, I have this gift over here. And I don't know if my wife's in the service, but shout out to her for wrapping it, okay? But here's this gift. And when I picture God's grace, I picture it like a gift. It's huge. It's enormous. Anybody wonder what's in here? There's nothing in here. Okay, but actually there's God's grace in here, right? But when I picture this gift, and some of you have seen, you know, Oprah Winfrey before, I picture like this gift is like an Oprah moment. Like, here's what I mean by an Oprah moment. God comes up to us and he's like, hey, you get a gift, and you get a gift, and you get a gift, and you get a gift, right? And that's the God that we serve. He's a God of grace, and his grace is extended to all people. You may say, wait a second, Brandon. Everybody gets grace? Absolutely. Think about probably the most famous verse in the world. For God so loved the world. God loves the world. You know, in Titus chapter 2 as well as 1 Timothy 2, it tells us that God desires for all people to be saved. God loves the Jewish people. Those are his special people. But he also loves the Gentiles, which if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. He loves all of us. And his grace is extended to every single person. Now, as we get into this, though, what gets a little more interesting, and I'll push this off to the side real quick, is what do we do when we make mistakes? I'll give you a quick illustration. I picture this little piece of coal as a mistake. And you know what a lot of us do when we make mistakes? We just focus on the mistake. We focus on how bad we are. We focus on how we blew it. And, you know, if you think about that, and I put this mistake down here, and all I do is just focus on this mistake, you know what? Of course I'm going to feel horrible, and of course I'm going to feel bad. I already felt bad enough that I did it. But if I focus on it, it's not going to make it any better. You know what sometimes we do, though? If we'll just take a step back and get a little bigger perspective, you know what we realize? As real as this failure is, as real as this sin is, as real as this mistake is, it pales in comparison to God's grace. As real as this is, it pales in comparison to God's grace. And oftentimes we forget how big God's grace is because we're just focusing on this. And I'm so thankful that we don't have to deny our mistakes. Thankful for that. Scripture tells us that if we confess our sins, he's what? Faithful and just to forgive us. You know what that looks like in my life? God, I've made a mistake. God, I don't want to do this again. God, I'm so sorry. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for your grace. And as we ask for forgiveness, you know what he does? He takes that, and it's covered by his grace. I'm so thankful for that. You know, you may say, well, hold on a second, Brandon. That's good for that mistake, but I got more coming, all right? And all of us truthfully probably have more coming, right? And when it comes to our mistakes, you know, I've talked to lots of people before. I've even experienced, you know, these type of things in my own life. What about, oh, I did this and I feel so shameful. Or, oh, I have this addiction. All of us have these things. And, you know, we shouldn't take advantage of God's grace. God, forgive me and just move on. No, we should feel this. And the scripture tells us that when we make mistakes, God's grace is big enough to cover our past, our present, our future. Whew. Praise God for that. So you say, well, Brandon, wait a second, then why do you have the mistake? Because at this point, it's not so much about the mistake, it's about the relationship. It's about my relationship with Jesus. You know what? Just like Peter, I don't want to hurt Jesus. I don't want to hurt God. I want to stay in relationship with God. You know what? The scripture tells us that this is going to be a whole lifetime thing. I'm going to put this sin under, and I'm going to put the rest of them, and any that come today and tomorrow, and hopefully there's not a lot of them, but I want to stay in relationship with Jesus. Scripture tells us that even though a righteous man falls seven times, what? He gets back up. She gets back up. And this is something we're going to have to deal with the rest of our lives. But I'm so thankful that as real as our mistakes are, God's grace is bigger. Well, here's the second point. The second response, I think a great response to God's grace, is to give grace. You know, I'll tell you a silly little story. Just to kind of set it, I am the oldest in my family, oldest child of eight. Okay, so you can imagine my family is basically a circus. Okay, that's the easiest way to describe it. And as an older sibling, I feel the innate and subtle responsibility of terrorizing my younger siblings. Okay, if you're the older, you understand this. If you're the younger, you feel this. Okay, you understand. And as part of that, I remember when I was younger, my brother went through this really, really funny phase. And he would go, whenever he'd get mad, he'd go to his room. And he opened his underwear drawer, and he'd start tearing his underwear and screaming, okay? I think it's hilarious. I still think it's hilarious, okay? I'm like, that poor child. Like, I don't think a whole lot of things have changed, but that's a whole nother thing, okay? And Kyle's over there screaming and ripping his underwear, and I would walk by, and normally I would use this opportunity to get him in trouble just for fun, okay? But I decided not to. I would just laugh. I would take this moment in. I'm like, oh, there he is again. Oh, he must have gotten mad. He's screaming, ripping his underwear. And he would do that. And I thought it was funny until he ran out of his underwear and then he turned on mine, okay? That's where I had to, you had to draw a line there, all right? But I remember in that moment, my mom sat us down. And she told Kyle, you can't do this anymore. And, you know, if you do this again, you're going to have to buy your own underwear. But I remember her pulling out a couple packages. She gave Kyle a couple packages. She gave me a couple packages of underwear. And she said, Kyle, you don't deserve this. You should probably have to pay, but I'm going to do this. Don't do it anymore. And you know what? From that point forward, Kyle didn't do it anymore. But I remember in that moment being mad. I was like, he should have to pay for my underwear, okay? Mom, you shouldn't have paid for this. He should have paid. You know what the truth is, guys? A lot of times, giving others grace is something that's hard for us. We love it when God gives us grace. We love it when people give us undeserved kindness. But the question is, do we do it for others? This morning, I'd like to ask you the question, who in your life do you need to give grace to? Who's someone that maybe you don't want to give grace to, but you know you probably should? And think about what could happen if we were to choose to respond to grace like that. Think about the relationships that could be restored. Think about the marriages that could be healed. Wow. Think about the things that could happen if we simply chose to give others undeserved kindness. Yeah, they didn't earn it. And oftentimes, you know, they weren't even close to earning it, right? But we do it because we're never more like Christ than when we give. Giving people grace is one of the greatest signs of genuine love that we can show. You know, when God is speaking to your heart, and if there's something going on and you love Christ, we'll obey Christ. And what a great way to obey Christ and show others love than by giving grace. Well, our third point is this, and I think it's an obvious one, but I think a third response is by giving God thanks. Thanking God. God, thank you so much for the grace you've shown me. You know, the scripture tells us this in Ephesians 1. It tells us that God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Christ Jesus. And this is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he's poured out on us who belong to his dear son. You see what that says? So we praise God. Verse 6, we praise God for his glorious grace he's poured out on us. Is there any better response than to thank God? God, thank you so much for what you've done in my life. Thank you, God. I didn't deserve your grace, but I'm so thankful for it. And as we close, I want to share a pretty fascinating story with you. Some of you heard this before, but it was right around the 1700s. And in 1725, a child named John was born. And this child's mother taught him as he got older and older to follow the ways of Christ. And as he began to practice those things, he began to grow as a believer. And as that happened, there was a tragic moment, and the mother ended up passing away. And at about the age of 7, young John ended up going with his father, who was a sailor, he was a captain. And in being in that changed environment, he completely changed. In fact, he went from being a young child who was following Christ to a young man who began to turn his back on Christ. In fact, he was known as one of the most profane, drunken sailors around. You know, the biography behind it's pretty fascinating. He was a man involved in slave trading. He was a man that really just had a completely wrecked life. He lived for himself. He defected from the Navy. He did whatever he wanted, and he was searching for something. And as all that was going on, he was searching for truth. One day, him and his group of salesmen, they were on the boat, and they came on this huge storm. In fact, it was a monstrous storm. It was so big that all the men expected to die. They didn't expect themselves to make it through. And John actually tied himself to the helm of the boat to make sure, hey, I want to do the best I can to stay alive. And as he was going through that for hour after hour after hour, waves splashing, the boat being disintegrated, he cried out to God. In that moment, he said, God, if you are real, God, would you help me? Would you save me? And miraculously, the boat ended up making it through the storm, got back to land. And as John came out on land, God had done something in his heart. God had sparked a small little seed of faith. And he recognized, God, I believe you saved me through that, because there's no way I should have made it through that. And as he began to get older, he began to search out the things of God once again, the same things his mother had told him. And as he did that, he ran into a couple great men. And you know from church history, he ran into a couple men named George Whitefield. He ran into another guy named John Wesley. And these men were incredible founders of the faith. They influenced him greatly. So much so that as the years passed by, he actually had a sense that God was calling him into the ministry. God called him into the ministry, and he fulfilled that. He became a pastor. And one of his favorite things to do was to write hymns. And as he was writing hymns, one day he was reflecting back on his life, thinking about where God had taken him from to where he was at now. He was overwhelmed with grace, overwhelmed with emotion. He thought to himself, I want to write these words down. I want to pen these words down. The words that he penned down were these: amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And that incredible, incredible hymn was written by a man who knew exactly what it meant to make mistakes. But boy, despite his mistakes, the greatest way he could respond to those mistakes was by giving God thanks. He responded by saying, God, thank you so much. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. I want to sing about it. You know, Peter responded in a similar way. Thank you, God, for what you've done. This morning, regardless of your mistakes, I'm so thankful that we serve a God of grace. Regardless of how bad you've blown it, regardless of how bad you've made mistakes, we serve a God of grace. This morning, you can know this: God's grace is greater than our mistakes. Would you bow your heads with me? In just this moment, I want to ask you two simple questions. The first question is this: have you received God's grace? Have you received it? God's grace is available to every single person that's here. I'm so thankful I've received it. The question, though, goes to you: have you received it? You know, this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to respond. You know, we're not going to do anything to embarrass you. We're not going to call you down the front or ask you to stand or anything like that. But just in this moment, if you're here and you say, I know I need to respond. Maybe you've been running away from God and you just have a sense, you know what? God, I just need to accept your grace. For some of you, maybe it's been a while. You've used to follow Jesus, used to follow God, but you've just kind of gotten swept away. You'd say, you know what? I need to come back. I know I need to come back to God. If either of those are you this morning, on the count of three, I'd like for you to raise your hand just as a sign, as a testimony of saying, I want to receive God's grace. If that's you this morning, this is your moment. On the count of three. 1, 2, 3. If that's you, would you raise your hand? I want to receive God's grace this morning. I want to receive his grace. I'll give you just a few more seconds if that's you. I encourage you to raise your hand. That's awesome. Here's the last thing this morning. I'd just like to open this up to everyone. The second question is this: are you living in God's grace? You may say, Brandon, what do you mean? Here's exactly what I mean. oftentimes we make a decision to live for God, but instead of focusing on God's grace, we let our mistakes dominate our minds and our hearts. We let shame stay with us. We let stress and anxiety dominate our lives. And this morning is just a testimony of you saying, I'm not going to allow that to dominate my heart and life anymore. I'm not going to allow shame and guilt to control me, but I'm going to live in grace. If that's you this morning, as a testimony of that, would you raise your hand? It'd be my privilege to pray for you this morning. If that's you, I'll give you just a few more minutes. Hands going up all over. I'm going to live in your grace. That's awesome. Well, you can put your hands down. We're going to pray a prayer together this morning. And as we do so, I encourage you, repeat this after me. It's a prayer, and we're going to say it from our hearts. Everyone say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. And I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord and Savior, as the one who forgives me and the one who restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven, and I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Now let me just pray for everyone here. God, thank you for your grace on our lives. Thank you, God, for our hearts being open so you can speak to us. And God, as we go out and we live our lives, God, we don't have to be dominated by our mistakes. They're real and they're ugly and they're nasty, but God, your grace is so much greater. And we're so thankful, God, that your grace is greater than our mistakes. Pray a prayer of blessing over every person here, God. Thank you that we can live in your grace, Lord. And we pray these things in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.